Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Also the place to be for this weekend, and I think nationally is the game that everybody is talking about. That, of course, is Sunday Night Football up at Highmark Stadium in Buffalo, and our good friend Mike Shope from our Odyssey sister station, WGR 550, joins us as I would say he does every couple months, basically, at this point.
Yeah.
For the last few years. Mike, what's going on, man? It's great to have you on. What's the weather look like for this weekend and that one, for starters?
Yes, I'm also up north, and it's going to be cold. This might be my first visit with you when it's not Bills Chiefs, but you know,
yeah.
I'm free next week. You are.
The question is, will you be?
Yeah, that's right. The weather is supposed to be brutally cold Sunday night, like 8 degrees. If you remember the Bills wild card win over New England a couple of years ago before they went to Kansas City, or was that not the same year? I get confused. Anyway, they had a really cold night. Ryan Fitzpatrick with his shirt off, the whole thing. They scored a touchdown on every possession, but it's one of the coldest games they've ever had. And this will be up there or down there, I guess. They're talking maybe 10 degrees for much of this game, but not windy at least.
When you look at what the matchup is for Buffalo, I think that what everyone's just settled into is the Ravens are a bad match for Buffalo. Buffalo's a bad match for Kansas City. Kansas City's a bad match for Baltimore. Is that how you actually see it? Do you think the Ravens provide a matchup-related issue, or has that just become kind of like the national narrative of a way of saying we think all three of these teams are somewhat even?
No, I think it works well enough. The Bills are relatively vulnerable. Again, it's relative. I mean, most teams would love to be them, but against a big physical team, and the Ravens are that quintessentially. So as what happened when they played in week four, Derrick Henry ran for 87 yards on his first or their first play, and he went for 199 in the game. It was a little bit like the Ravens last week against Pittsburgh. The Bills were down three key men on defense in that game, and I just kind of want to trust Sean McDermott to adjust in whatever way that is necessary in this game based on what he sees. I mean, the Ravens are just such a heavy team with the fullback Ricard and even Henry himself, but with their starters back and with all this time to sort of adjust and prepare and being at home, I mean, the slightest timing difference when you're on the road, you just don't have the same ease at getting plays off, and everything with their RPOs that Baltimore does is so dependent on timing. I think on the road, it's a different deal, especially if you're freezing. So I think the narrative stuff works, but I don't know. I do not expect Baltimore to just run all over them. If they do, they do. I mean, if they're just so physically superior, then in football, there's not a lot you can do about that. But I just kind of want to trust the Bills for figuring out ways to offset that.
The fact this matchup exists, of course, is because how important the number one seed was. What I'm sure Bills fans were trying to avoid in the second round was having to go through Baltimore and Kansas City. Chiefs fans were trying to avoid having to go through Buffalo and Baltimore in order to get to a Super Bowl. What's the confidence level like, Mike, up there in this game? I mean, the Bills are an underdog. I don't have to tell you. It's the first time at home in the postseason since Lynn Dawson went up there in the 60s.
I thought you might mention that. I think it's cautious optimism. What I get from, and have gotten all year, because this has been very possible all year, this matchup, is respect for the Ravens within the comparison of the two teams is the quarterback comparison and the MVP stuff. I think Bills fans are very protective of Allen in that debate and even defensive at times about him. But in terms of the team overall, the Ravens, I hear more about Derrick Henry than I do about Lamar Jackson, which I think is wrong. But it's just kind of how I think you're asking what the confidence level is. I think the fans are worried about Derrick Henry and not worried about Lamar Jackson. And we'll see what happens. Jackson, as you know, if everybody knows, like, he's got that reputation for the playoff history. And, man, what a jump he takes if they win here with, like, the road element and the cold and what has happened before against a Buffalo team that they're right on par with. So,
you know, it's so hard because, like, from our perspective, we understand that, like, everybody's still eyeing the main prize, which is, like, getting past Kansas City at some point in a postseason run. But Alex and I both kind of view this game as, like, kind of a devastating blow for the person who loses. Like, you didn't even like, you know, like, one of those two teams will only have been in one AFC title game and didn't even get a chance to face Kansas City.
Over a span of any 7 years in the Super Bowl era, these are the two winningest teams to have not made a Super Bowl, and the loser won't get out of the second round, as you said. And then what do they do about it, right? Like, if the Bills lose this game, what am I doing on Monday? What are we talking about they have to be better at? I mean, they just had a dream trip this year. The division was in shambles, and, oh, everybody eats. James Cook, 16 touchdowns. What are they supposed to do about their roster? What is Baltimore supposed to do about its roster if it loses here 23-20? I mean, just what do you do? So, yeah, like, that's the thing. What, you know, this maybe goes without saying, but I'm not assuming Kansas City wins. I'm sure that's blasphemy to say on your show. But
that's fair.
If they don't, Sunday just becomes everything.
Right.
Home the next week, favored. We'll see if the Chiefs are favored at home against the winner of this game. They might, they probably will be, I think, but I would also think by less than a field goal if they are. I mean, the Ravens being favored here, if the Ravens have an impressive win here, I feel like they're probably favored next week, but
I'm with you.
Anyway, I'm getting ahead of ourselves here myself.
Yeah, no, you're good, Mike. I'm with you. We've talked about that very thing, and there's folks here that would love for the Chiefs to actually be an underdog in an AFC title game. Like the fact that a team could win 15 games and still actually claim to be a dog. But, of course, they got to handle their business, as you said, and if it's the Bills, they got to handle their business. What about, you know, when you look at just the AFC, I guess, long-term hierarchy? We just mentioned, like, it's devastating and everything like that, but, you know, there was thought that, you know, Cincinnati, if they got in, you know, could have been a threat to Buffalo, for example, if they would have played them last week and everything like that. Do you still believe Joe Burrow and Cincinnati belongs in this conversation of the teams we're discussing right now, Buffalo, Baltimore, and Kansas City?
I mostly do. I do as players, Burrow, Chase, the rest of it. But the Bengals just do not impress as an organization that will, you know, max out in trying to keep that going. So, I mean, he's signed, but Chase isn't. I think it's self-evident. I mean, you just, it's been true in football for so long. Getting to the top without a top quarterback is near impossible. I mean, if there were NIL in the NFL, these guys should transfer to the NFC. Sorry for all the letters.
Yeah.
But what would Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen's sort of reputation? I mean, they both have great reputations. They've been great players. But what would they be if they played for an NFC team? You know, they might be going to their third Super Bowl at this point or something. So that's not possible. It's just so capped for everybody else in the conference. Think about Justin Herbert at this point, or what Lawrence has been, or Knicks. What is Knicks looking at coming here last week? Allen, Mahomes, Jackson, maybe just to get there and, you know, forget it. And this elite group of quarterbacks are still all in their 20s. So I don't know. Like, it could be Colts, Patriots kind of dominance. That's sort of how it's felt. But the Colts did wiggle their way, muscle their way into a couple of Super Bowls, which is what Buffalo is hoping for, you know, given what's happened already.
When you look at what you've talked a lot about, what Bills fans are afraid of from the Ravens, where do you guys think you can take advantage? Like, if Buffalo's going to win this game, how do they attack Baltimore?
Well, the Bills want to play heavy too. They had a sixth lineman on the field more than any other team this year, Alec Anderson. And they also throw out of that look a lot. So whether or not they're physically up to being sort of better than Baltimore remains to be seen. They were not in week four, but that's kind of been their offense this year, is Cook and that sort of identity, and then Allen working off that. He just has not had, what part of what makes the MVP thing so interesting or maddening is that he doesn't have the stats this year. And, you know, they ran away with the division. They didn't have to play week 18. And, you know, they were up big in games. So that's going to happen sometimes. So that's how they want to play. I think they will try that in this game and then hope that Allen's brilliance as a passer and a runner can get them there, much like the game against the Chiefs this year. I mean, that was a close game, and in the end, Allen makes the one play on the fourth down, and it's a win. So I think that's probably the game they want. I doubt that the cold really matters to their approach to this game. And in terms of their passing, like, it's just been somebody different every week. They've had 9 different players lead games in receiving yards this year, and none of them is Dalton Kincaid, by the way, who is, you know, we're just kind of all waiting for that. So Allen and Jackson, not in that order, are the two top passers in the league this year on the perimeter. So there should be some, you know, stuff outside for Allen, if not also Baltimore, in the game. And I think mostly they kind of want to be a version of what the Ravens do, which is James Cook and, as they say, ahead of the sticks, and then Allen to make enough plays to get them home.
All right, before we let you go, you know I have to ask you about something that happened last weekend in that Bills game, because around here everybody was like, huh, it's interesting what the reaction would have been if it was Patrick Mahomes having a little visit on the sideline with Bill Vinovich. So how did Bills fans handle that? Because, look, I don't think anything was really going on, but you and I both know if Patrick Mahomes was having, you know, a little visit like that, everybody, the internet would have exploded.
Yeah. There's nothing more insufferable than fan victim stuff, is there? Like, really, just...
Oh, it's pretty bad, yeah.
The number of times over the years I've heard, if Mahomes did that or if Jackson did that, it's just, it's insufferable. It's the worst. What I think it was Allen is kind of a little bit like a ref on the field sometimes. This is my opinion, not what I've heard about what was said, because I don't know what was said. But...
Right.
He likes to point, he's calling penalties before the play is even over sometimes. If I were an official, I would not like that. Let me do my job and you do yours. And, you know, you would know better than I if you think Mahomes has the same reputation. But Allen this year, whether it's flopping or just some of that stuff, I think would grate on refs. And I think also if I were an official, not that I am one, but I would want to handle it in sort of maybe that way. Or just talk to the guy, like, look, right, I got it. We miss calls, okay, but don't show me up. And so that's probably, to me, like, that's probably what that was. It's definitely not going to be anything sinister. Come on, right? But, yeah, like, it was interesting. And people have said they've never seen that. Maybe I have. I don't know if I've ever seen that before, but you're right. It did stand out.
Yeah, no, I don't think anything shady was going on either. I'm not trying to claim that at all, but it was.
I think they were getting barbecue later. You know, they were heading out for a dinner, could chat about the game.
Not up
Mike,
here.
Appreciate it, man. Enjoy the weekend. I mean, that's going to be an epic game there on Sunday night, and hopefully we're talking to you next week.
I'm in. Let's go. Thank you, guys.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed's sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.